Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best selling show.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. No! Get ready for Hippo Juice.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
Give it up for the DP.
You're listening to Atomicast.
It's all about me.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome back. I had to take a couple of weeks off because of, equipment failure. A bit of a dodgy cable, but I got it replaced, and I am back, and I have missed doing the show for a couple of weeks. It's a pain in the ass, because literally I've got tons of stuff to talk about. There might be a topic. I do have something picked out, but it depends on how I get through, basically how long it takes me to get through what I've been playing before I get to the topic, and we'll see how it goes, basically, because I've been playing a lot, because, say I've been off for 2 weeks, not my fault, dodgy cables, got it all fixed, back live, usual time, 4 p.m. Eastern and 9 p.m. UK time, MoreLikeRadio.com, as live as usual. Don't forget as well, coming up later after me is Alcohol by Volume, then we have My Time Now, then we have Dutch and Royce. Usual powerhouse lineup on a Tuesday on MoreLikeRadio.com. There's many ways you can get in touch with us at the show. If you want to Skype in, it's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word. If you want to email us, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Also, join our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, if you like us on Facebook, give us a like. It's nice. facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And you can follow the Twitter feed at MLRGamerRadio. I've been playing lots of stuff, and the main thing that I have been playing, I started playing it yesterday, which I'll talk about in a minute. I'll get through the, basically, I'll do the old chronological order. A couple of weeks ago, basically, I tried to do a show and the equipment failed on me, so I had to sort of cut it. I did start talking about Resident Evil. Because I picked up Resident Evil HD Remastered for my PlayStation 4. And it is a very lovely game. It is very good. It is kind of scary. I sort of had the experience, because, I mean, I've beaten it twice, like, you know, with Chris and with Jill. And got the super good ending, which is helpful. But yeah, I say it's... I sort of had the sort of Dead Space experience where I was more scared, like, you know, playing the game again for the first time, even though it's tricky to explain because this is the HD remake. This is the remake of the original Resident Evil, which came out on the GameCube, which I never played, even though I did play the original PlayStation version of Resident Evil. That's basically, I think, the simplest way I can explain it, and it coming across sounding okay. But yeah, I mean, there's the usual jump scares. It's like, you know, I've played Resident Evil. I know about this sort of stuff. You know, I know that where the hunters jump out and then the dog comes through the window. It's like I knew that was happening. And yeah, it wasn't really as scary the second time, because I thought it would be, because I was like, okay, I'm walking down the L-shaped corridor. Okay, the dog's going to jump through the window now. And it didn't. And then I came back a bit later. Then it did, even though it wasn't as sort of dramatic as it was in the PlayStation version, you know, originally from, you know, fucking 20 years ago. But yeah, I say it is a really good game. I mean, it's still a bit funny. I mean, they've changed the control scheme up a bit. They've got the original, you know, tank controls, and they've got the newer sort of control method, which I use, the newer one, because it's so much better, but it's still a bit finicky when it comes to using with the camera angles, because it is a fixed camera. So basically, I mean, there were several bits when you're going upstairs, or there's a puzzle room, which is basically got the walls collapsing on you, and you've got to push a button then run around. That was tricky, because I got crushed once, and then it just wouldn't do what I wanted it to do, which is a pain in the ass. But yeah, I say it is a bit tricky with the controls and the angle, camera angles. Literally, I'm sort of walking through stuff and then doubling back on myself when I think I've gone the right way and I've gone the wrong way. I mean, it's a lot more... I mean, I had a lot more completionist playthrough with, you know, both playthroughs, because on the map they've got now where it basically shows the room that's got nothing in it, like items-wise, whereas, you know, it's sort of grey, whereas the room with items and you've got stuff to do in there, it sort of goes orange. So basically I'm sort of, you know, emptying out what I've got, like inventory-wise, and just going to each room and going, yep, I'm going to get all those herbs and get that, mix that together to combine that. You know, I mean, even by the time I'd finished both my playthroughs, I had like the security chest filled with, what the fuck was it? Filled with items, basically. You know, loads of green herbs. There was loads of first aid sprays, I mean, tons of pistol ammo and shotgun ammo. Because at the end of the day, I just didn't need it. I mean, I didn't kill half the amount of zombies. I mean, I killed a lot of the zombies and the dogs and stuff, but there was still plenty left. But, I mean, you know, I mean, I did like... I mean, I didn't play it when it came out on the GameCube, but I did love the inclusion of the redheads, I think they're called. It's basically like the zombies that run at you, and they're a lot more dangerous. They're actually more scary than the hunters, to be honest, because the hunters, it's simple. It's literally, a couple of shotgun blasts and they're dead. Whereas these ones, yes, it is a simple. It's a zombie, but it's faster and you can take them out with a headshot, with a shotgun. And I did it to several of them, but it was a much more pleasant. It was quite funny, I mean, as well, because there's the first room where you get the first map and you've got to push this chest against the statue to climb up it. Because there's like, I think, like a couple of redheads in that room. There's one that's sort of in the little alcove bit towards the back where you get pick up the ink ribbon, and basically it's running towards me when the chest is in front of the gap in the door that you would move the chest out to get through, and it's sort of like trying to charge at this little chest thing, and it's just nothing's happening. It's just really funny. I was just sort of stood there and just sort of stabbing at it, but it was, you know, it's quite funny, but for a horror game. Just saying, what else? Yeah, I mean, I had it on, I think I had on easy or normal. And yeah, it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, the voice acting is much better. I've seen some comparison videos between the original, the original PlayStation voice actors, and, you know, and it's better. It's still a bit shitty and cheesy how they've done the lines, but, you know, it was a remake, but it's good. And I mean, the intro cutscene's much better. It's not with the actors that we had from the original PlayStation version, it's, I mean, Jesus Christ, how old are those actors now? It's still more, it was computer generated CGI animated thing, and it was good. It was scary as well, and because it was literally just sort of foggy landing area, and basically everyone's the helicopters crash, and you know, people have seen it. You're not talking about it, some sort of rambling. But yeah, I say it is fun to play. I mean, I when I did play the PlayStation version, I did complete it as Jill, and I never completed it as Chris, so I never got to see Rebecca Chambers. But now this time I did, which was great. It was a lot more fun. I mean, it was weird. I mean, I don't know if this was part of the game, because I mean, there's a part. I mean, I'm not spoiling this, because if people have played the Resident Evil, they'll know what I'm talking about. And if they've played, you know, the GameCube version, you know what I'm talking about. That there's a bit where you go to fight the snake, and there's that guy Richard. He's sort of been poisoned. You've got to get some serum from with Chris. I didn't realize. I mean, both the characters, Jill and Chris. I didn't realize there was a time limit. So basically, with Chris, my first playthrough, I'm sort of taking my time to try and find this serum and, you know, what have you. And I get back and Richard's dead. Whereas then found out there was a time limit on it to get whatever. So basically, when I did it as Jill, rushed off, got the serum, came back as quick as I could, and then had to fight the snake later. He comes in with his shotgun, an assault shotgun, which holds like 10 bullets. And I sort of realised with Jill, she gets better weapons and more of them. I mean, I think that's the sort of differentiate between the characters, because Chris has better endurance when it comes to being hit by stuff, because Jill was, I don't know, sort of sexism. She was getting damaged more easily than Chris was, but she did get, you know, the bazooka and, the acid round, that sort of stuff. And I got the assault shotgun with it. And I was sort of wondering if I could get the assault shotgun with Chris. But, I mean, I do plan to do another playthrough with Chris, because, I mean, when you beat, you know, both games, we beat both characters, you get costumes unlocked. You get a key that, you know, changes your... It doesn't really do... It's kind of bullshit to me, because when you start a new playthrough, you unlock you've unlocked a key from the previous one, and it doesn't really unlock anything, but it just, you know, when you're choosing which one to be, Chris or Jill, it gives you the option to change your costume. And with Chris, you can be either his BSAA uniform that he wears in the recent games, or some other sort of... with sunglasses and, I don't know, some bullshit outfit. Whereas Jill can be how she looks in Resident Evil 5 with the... I think it was Resident Evil... Yeah, Resident Evil 5 with the blue outfit with the hat and stuff. But yeah, it's a really fun game, and I recommend everyone to get it. It's, you know, it's a classic. It's Resident Evil. It's Resident Evil at its best, should we say. I mean, I had a lot of fun playing it, and, you know, it's awesome. I mean, I love Resident Evil. It's really good. It did feel that they toned down... Because this is a whole comparison thing now, because I'm not too sure, because I mean, I never played the GameCube version, but it does seem to be a lot less gore in this one. I mean, I say about the hunters, I mean, there's a bit where I've done it, you know, on my PlayStation version, I've been, I think I've had sort of not fine health, but it was not caution, but it was the one above, the in-between one. Basically, I walked around a corner and there was a hunter there that I couldn't see because it was hidden where the camera angle is, it sort of hides the hunter, and it sort of chopped my head off. This is on the PlayStation version, but on this recent version, I've done that, been, you know, caution, what have you, and it just sort of sliced at me, but didn't, you know, cut my head off. So I'm like, maybe they did tone down the violence and the gore, which is a bit of a shame. I don't know. I mean, the headshot stuff with the shotguns for the zombies is quite real. And, you know, there's insects in this one now. And, you know, it just... I don't know. It's weird, really, to be honest. It was kind of... You know, it's fun. It's a great game, and I love it. It's really good. But, yeah, I say when I do my next playthrough with Chris, I think I'll sort of use all the pistol ammo to take out the zombies. I mean, because I did have a sort of feeling of it's weird. I mean, because it is a horror game, right? And it's got, you know, the music's eerie, the door opening, which is still scary because it creeps me the shit out. But it does make me wonder about, you know, the sort of, okay, we're in this spooky mansion and there's wind and there's noise and there's
rain and thunder and lightning and all sorts of shit going off. But it's like, I have a shotgun, I have a pistol, I have about 140 rounds, I have first aid sprays. You know, it's sort of, if you're tooled up, as you know, does that take away, I mean, it did for me, it takes away the being scared. It's like, okay, I've got this shotgun that's got this so many ammo, and I've got that, my, you know, all my guns are fully loaded, and I have plenty of ammo and health in my inventory. You know, you can take on whatever comes at you. I mean, does that take away from the horror experience? I mean, it makes it less of a survivor horror, especially on the easy difficulties, because there's more ammo and that sort of stuff. But the actual fear of being killed or dying, or, you know, just basically takes away what it's supposed to be about a survival horror game. Maybe even on the easy difficulties, they could have, you know, put less herbs, put less ammo. And, I mean, you know, I mean, I did, you know, I mean, I did beat it with, as I said, tons of stuff left in my security box, you know, herbs and ammos and shit. But I don't know. It does make me wonder, though. I mean, because it was like there were several moments. Okay, I'm sort of wondering what I'm going to fight in the next room, because, you know, as you go through the game, first you fight the zombies, and then there's certain rooms where there's like the zombies on the floor, and they get up, and they're sort of the redheads. And then once you get outside and come back in again, the hunters are there, and then, you know, yeah, I mean, there's differences as well between what I played on the PlayStation version to what I've played on this current remastered version. I mean, I could have sworn there was a bit where you're in that L-shaped corridor where the dogs come through, and there were spiders in there. I mean, they've taken that out, I believe, and there's just other stuff going on that's not really... It's just not really how it was from when I originally played it, but... I don't know. I know. I like this. It's fun. It's still, you know, still the same, but the puzzles are the same. I mean, I had, you know, had to fight the snake, which was actually a lot more easy than I remember it being. As usual, when you first fight it, there's, you know, shotgun it, just get rid of the bloody thing. I mean, there's like death masks in this now, which used to unlock a puzzle, which was pretty simple, and I had to fight a zombie there, but that was simple. It was, you know, shotgun, couple of shots, and it's dead, and then pick up this and that and that. And there's this other boss with this sort of mask on its face. I'm not going to spoil part of it. It's like changing. It can't die. Which, when you actually do fight it right at the end, it's the easiest boss battle in the world. But yeah, I say it's a really good game, and I recommend everyone to pick it up, because I mean, I had tons of fun with it. I really did. Other stuff I've been playing. I played the trial for Life is Strange. Now, this is, I talked about this a couple of weeks. Must have been a month ago now. This is the sort of, it's not exactly point and click, because it's, well, not really point and click, but it's on that sort of style of how, you know, the Telltale games are with The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, that sort of stuff. But it's not made by them, it's made by some other company, I can't remember who it's made by. But it is really good, the graphics are pretty sweet. But basically, you're this like 12-year-old girl, I believe, and she can sort of control time that, you know, she's sort of in school, has a nightmare, wakes up, and then uses time manipulation to help people. I mean, the beginning of the game, I mean, it's no spoilers really, this girl gets killed in the high school bathroom, and then you can sort of wind time back to stop her getting killed and do bits and pieces, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm waiting for all the episodes to come out, because it's a big, you know, it's like, you know, each episode's, I don't know. It's. I'm not too sure when it's all coming out. But sometimes, I mean, they're charging 15 quid over here for the full, you know, for the full package. But I'm like, I want to wait till the game comes out first, and then it might be on sale. Even though I don't mind paying that price, because anyways, I paid that for Resident Evil. But I do want the full game. I don't really want to wait for the episodic stuff. I mean, even when I played The Walking Dead, you know, I waited until, you know, that had fully come out before I actually, you know, put the money down and paid for it. But yeah, Life is Strange is really good. I do, you know, plan on getting it when it just wait for it to come out, and it will be. Other stuff I have been playing. I played the Battlefield Hardline beta. I have no idea what I was doing in it. I only played it for a couple of minutes because I needed some time to kill. And it's really fun, and the graphics are amazing. I mean, it's my first sort of current gen, you would say now, modern shooter. I mean, yes, I know I've played Destiny and that was sort of sci-fi-ish, but this is a real modern cities. Everything looks really nice. It's, you know, very authentic looking, the buildings and the walls, you know. But yeah, I was doing some sort of heist, I think it was sort of heist mode. I don't know. I just sort of jumped into a random match, no idea. And, you know, I was all tooled up with guns and all sorts of shit. But yeah, I mean, I die like every single time. But it is a really, really fun, you know, experience of what the full game will be like. I mean, because I never really got into the... I mean, I'm more interested in the single player because that looks more fun. But I've never been a real fan of the actual Battlefield multiplayer. I mean, I did play the demo. I think it was probably the beta as well for Bad Company, the original Bad Company. I didn't really like it that much, which, you know, I didn't buy it, but just playing this, it's sort of, you know, because I mean, I'm done with the Call of Duty stuff at the moment. There's nothing really Call of Duty wise that I want to play, even though I'm sort of, I like how they do the multiplayer stuff, how it's set up with the kill cam and that sort of stuff. But this, I'm looking forward to playing more, the different modes that they've got planned to ship with the game. Yeah, this Battlefield Hardline, it's, you know, it's on my wish list and something I really want to play this year. But yeah, I say I had a lot of fun with it. Didn't really do much. I still need to spend more time with it. But other stuff I'm playing at the moment is a bit of a time suck at the moment, to be honest. But yeah, I did sort of tide me over for a little bit. I did get into the stuff. I mean, I know people have been talking about this for ages. I started to play was it Clash of Clans and Boom Beach on my mobile phone. Yeah, very fun. I mean, not real time strategy, but sort of MMO based games for your phones, and they are a lot of fun. I've deleted both of the apps now because I'm sort of playing something else that's taken up all my time. Because I mean, I just sort of sit here and you know, upgrade stuff, buy stuff. I mean, I was a bit worried that my phone wouldn't be able to play those sort of games. I mean, my phone's fairly new, but you know, this sort of stuff. I mean, I've got an iPod that needs basically replacing, and just needs replacing because it's sort of so old it won't, you know, download any apps. But yeah, I say they're quite fun. I mean, I enjoyed them for what they were. I mean, I didn't take it too seriously. I mean, I upgraded a few bits and just sort of, you know, played around with it and, you know, got the benefit of the doubt of what it's like to play this. I mean, I know Dutch talks about this all the time and I got people at work. I mean, my mate at work got me into playing both of them. So I'm like, sit here for a couple of days, played it, did what I needed to do. You know, it did remind me of the whole Kingdom for Keflings game, which is, you know, real-time resource management. Yeah, that's what I'm after, real-time resource management. And it's all about that. And I like that sort of stuff because, you know, organising with your builders to do this and that to do that. And that's pretty much what it is. I mean, it's literally down to your builders and how you organise your troops when it comes to Boom Beach. Because, literally, I mean, with Boom Beach, you only get like one builder. Whereas stuff, you know, with Clash of Clans, you can get several. But it's all about, you know, chopping down trees, getting that for your wood, using the wood to build buildings. And I mean, both the games are made by the same company, so it's all sort of, you know, one learns from the other how to, you know, it's all about sort of slowing down play, so going slow enough that people will pay, you know, to buy the jewels and the coins and stuff with real money, which I didn't, and I wouldn't recommend anyone to do it either. But yeah, it is a fun little game. Both little fun little games, and you know, they sort of, you know, had my attention for a good couple of days until I got this, which I got yesterday. I sort of, because I played the trial before Christmas. I got Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, and I am having tons and tons of fun with it. I'm not doing too much. I'm doing bits and pieces here and there. But yeah, I mean, I messed around with my character. He's a Hugh Highlander, which, you know, human type model, and basically I'm a gladiator, level I think 11 at the moment. But yeah, I'm sort of not really too sure what exactly I'm doing with my character. I mean, I spent mostly yesterday trying to level up my main character class, which is gladiator. And then I got to level 10, and I'm like, now I can do some sort of crafting, and I've been sort of spent most of the day just sort of crafting up what the fuck is it? What am I crafting? My goldsmithing, weaver, and I mean alchemist. I haven't touched. I need to, you know, join the alchemist guild and do some bits and pieces with that. Yeah, weaver, goldsmith. Oh, mining as well. Yes, and it's literally. I mean, I fucking hit this microphone again. Yeah, I mean, I have been doing tons of stuff with this game. And it's all very simple and menial, but it's just so much fun. It's literally that's why I prefer it to, you know, Boom Beach and I was gonna say Castle Crashers. It's not. It's Clash of Clans, because it is literally ultimate resource management. It's when you're mining copper ore, which you can use with your goldsmithing and your weaving, and yeah, just so much. Basically, just so much stuff that you can do, and it is. It is really, really fun. I mean, I haven't done too much. I mean, I've done a bunch of quests, as you do. I mean, you basically appear in the world. It was just like my trial. I mean, I got access to, the usual quest: join this guild, see these, join the Adventurers Guild, join the guild to deal with your faction, join this guild to deal with, this and that, and then basically just find this person, individual quest, and it's sort of. Go here, go there, collect so many of those. And I say that's what I've been doing for the past, day or so that I have been playing this. And it is really, really fun, even though it is sort of menial, bullshitty stuff. I mean, I'm trying to level up my character as best as I can. I mean, it's a bit tricky because, I mean, as I say, it's like with these mobile apps now, these games, where it's sort of about you investing your time into something. I mean, I was at level 9, and I needed about 8,000 more experience to level up to level 10 so I could start my crafting. But I'm like, okay, I'm fighting this worker ant type thing, and it's only given me 90 experience. So I've got to fight about a dozen, 50, 60 of these. But I mean, it was like, well, go and do some quests, get the experience from that, chain up your experience that you get from fighting. And, that's basically how I did sort of pass the time, just sort of doing this. I mean, I've been listening to stuff on my iPod and all that sort of stuff while I'm playing and watching stuff on my laptop. I mean, it is probably a great game to sort of, do stuff in the background. Have stuff playing in the background as you're, making your way through this. But, yeah, this game is amazing. I mean, it's amazing how much time I'm going to put in this game. Because it's weird, right? It feels like the ultimate sort of time suck game, being basically an MMO, which is the whole point. But I'm not really playing as much as I used to, when I first started doing this show. Back when I started, I was playing a game every week. I mean, just there was a game coming out every week back then. I mean, it was only a couple of years ago, but now we're getting delays. I mean, I was expecting to have played Dying Light by now. I mean, yes, I know I can download it straight to my console, but I'm like, I don't really want to spend that much money on a game that's just going to sit on my hard drive and I'm going to play for a bit. I mean, I know John from Hippo Juice is playing this because I keep seeing him pop up on my friends list playing it. But I mean, this game doesn't come out for like another 2 weeks over here, so I'm sort of waiting for a bit. But I mean, there's been so much time recently, past 6 months, I'd say, where we've basically had games delayed and I'm sort of sitting around waiting for ages to play stuff. Whereas now with, with Final Fantasy, I can sort of, do bits and hit pieces here. I mean, I do get bored occasionally. I mean, I've been sort of playing a bit, then sort of watching episodes of Suits. But it's sort of, it's sort of tricky. It's trying to, manage your time with it so that you don't get too bored too quickly. But doing stuff quick enough or often enough to actually get some, I mean, I need to level up my characters. That's the whole point. I need to craft stuff. I mean, my crafting, I think my weaver is up to level 10 and my goldsmith is up to 5 and I think mining is up to like 3 or 4 and I'm sort of just, I think, no, 7 actually, I think. But yeah, I mean, just sort of playing through this game and having fun with it and messing around and yeah, it's really good. I mean, I'm looking at my character, he's a Highlander gladiator. I mean, the armor mix-up that he's got, it looks like a fucking schoolboy on a winter's day, because it's like a red sort of wool hat type thing and like a big green green jumper and some boots and it just looks crazy and stupid. But I'm looking forward to getting the near the end, when, you know, level 50. I mean, so many people have been playing this so long, and they're all at level 50, and they've all done this and that, and you know. But yeah, I say, I mean, it is really good. And I mean, I bought the collector's edition, so it came with like the art book and a CD and some extra content and bits and pieces. So I mean, I've used like the Helm of Light to help get my character up to level 10, and I can use this with all my other jobs, including my crafting jobs. So when I do, you know, do my little crafting stuff, I'll, you know, get extra bonus experience from making like copper ingots or stuff, you know, just sort of help me get further on in the game. But yeah, I say it is really good. I mean, I know I'll probably have like talk about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. I mean, I've been playing this going to be for a long time, a good few years, I think, ahead of me of playing this, because we've got the first expansion coming out soon, and I've only just started, but there's so much more stuff to do. I mean, I was trying to, as I'm sort of leveling out my crafting stuff, I'm going to probably put a stop to that at the moment, because I wanted to try and sell some stuff, but I need a retainer, like an extra character or something. I'm not actually too sure what it is. I mean, I do listen to like Limit Break Radio and A Fright Radio, and I can't remember the other podcast I listen to that does Final Fantasy stuff. But yeah, I need like a retainer or something to sell my stuff, which is a bit stupid, to be honest. I think, I mean, there's a quest involved with it, so I mean, it'll probably be more important when I get round to watching and playing the quest that tells me why I need someone to do it. I mean, because I'm comparing it to like Final Fantasy XI. I was like, well, Final Fantasy XI, in each big major city, there's an auction house. You go there, you have so much of this, you want to sell it for that price, and I'm like, okay, or sell. But now I need like a retainer to do it. It's just a bit, I don't see the point. I mean, the graphics for this game are amazing. It's just, you know, everything pops out. I mean, they've got the Valentioni's, you know, event at the moment, you know, the Valentine's Day sort of experience thing. And one of the places, I mean, I sort of changed my character, because when I was a Marauder, like one of the characters I did for my trial, I was in the city of Limsa Laminsa, I think that's how you say it. And that was a weird, confusing place, because it's sort of up in the sky and sort of on a mountain or something. But now I'm in Uldar, which is sort of the castle type town city thing, and it's so much easier to navigate. Even though it's a bit tricky, it's so much easier to navigate and find stuff. But there's like one room it's set up for the Valentine's Day event, and it's just so red and pink and hearts and bullshit. But yeah, I say I'll be glad when that's out. I'm looking forward to the Easter one, because when I did play Final Fantasy XI, it was the during the time of the Easter event. This is probably about the same time, about 6-7 years ago, that I did play Final Fantasy XI. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the Easter one, just to have to do stuff with eggs. And I mean, just, there's nothing I really need from these events at the moment, because I'm not really too sure what they're giving out. But I mean, the Easter one's probably more interesting for me, because it probably have like food items that will help me with my skills, or, you know, when I fight stuff. Whereas the Valentine stuff is all about, you know, Valentine stuff. And it's like, yeah, what the fuck am I going to need with, you know, whatever fireworks display that makes hearts, or, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to all the events and that sort of stuff that will, you know, that I will experience throughout the game. I mean, when I did the try, it was the Christmas one. And no doubt there's probably other ones and stuff, Halloween stuff, and, you know, whatever they can think of, there'll be an event for it. But yeah, I say I am enjoying this game thoroughly. It is a lot of fun. It really is. Just trying to think what else that I can talk about, to be honest. Hunting logs. There's loads of different logs. It's sort of like a completionist wet dream, to be honest. There's like hunting logs where it's basically like you need to kill three of these ladybirds and three of these something or others, and then just basically fill them up. And I'm sort of working on that, and I'm doing my crafting ones as well. But I mean, with the what the fuck is it? With the hunting one, you actually get experience. I was hoping you'd get crafting experience from the crafting logs, to be honest. But I did fill up one page and it didn't give me anything. So I'm like, fuck. I sort of wasted a whole bunch of time and a bunch of, you know, I did it for my goldsmith. For my weaving. Because I got to like level 10 with that, and I'm like, okay, well, I've just crafted all these bloody shitty sort of leathy clothy pajama stuff, and basically I've got nothing from it. So basically, I'm sort of trying to do my copper stuff, my goldsmith thing, so I can get more and more recipes and get that level up. So that way I can start making some money off this shit that I'm making. Sell it all together and, see what happens. But, I need that retainer, which I think I can only get at level 20. So I'm like, I've still got like a decent amount to go with, what the fuck is it? With, basically everything, really. I mean, I've got, just all the different jobs, all the different crafts. I mean, there's like guilds for each job in two more cities that I've got to find and explore. So I've got to get my main job up and then get a sub job. And then, there's just so much stuff I need to do in this game. And, it's not like I've got much of a social life anyway. But I mean, as I was saying, those transitions to some of these events that I was saying, they're actually real life events. I mean, we've got the Warlock Radio one, which is coming up, which I'll talk about in a sec. But we have the... There's a... Because I've joined this Facebook group for Final Fantasy 14 in the UK. And we've got... there's an event they're planning to do at the end of February, which I'm going to at the Loading Bar in London from 1 till 6. So basically, I'll be taking tons of pictures and I'll be talking about it once, I'm back from it. But yeah, I'll be meeting up with other Final Fantasy players and it's going to be a lot of fun, I think. And there's prizes and competitions. And I've seen some of the prizes. They're sort of plushies of characters like a Cactar and a Tonbury. Yes, good stuff, actually. I might try and win it, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, I'm sort of looking forward to that. It's only a couple of weeks away. So, I mean, I'm off work anyway on holiday. So I'll get myself down to that. So I'll take pictures. I'll, hand out business cards, tell more about station, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean... Other events as well. We got the Pokemon National event announced. That's going to be in Manchester again. So basically the same place as last year. I'm looking forward to going and seeing all my Pokemania friends. I've booked my hotel. All I've got to do is book my train. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I sort of literally I'm talking to everyone at work and I'm like sort of exciting myself. I'm sort of because I know Florida's only like a couple of months away and this is like a month after. But I'm sort of more interested in the Manchester one at the moment because it's. I mean, all my Florida stuff's pretty much taken care of. But, the Manchester one, I got on this train to go to this station. I've got to get on, four different trains to get to Manchester. And then when I, get to where I need to go, I've got to, walk about 40 minutes up a road. And, it's going to be, it's going to be like last year. But I'm hoping. I mean, we got the event page posted up on Facebook. And I said, well, if it's going to be like last year, I'm going to bring a board game with me. So that way, when we're waiting for the first round to start, we've got something to do with the 5 hours we're going to kill. Because I don't really want to wait, 5 hours for fucking the first round to start. I mean, last year, we got there at 9 o'clock. We didn't start till, 1 o'clock? We left there at 9 to go down the pub and have a drink. But, if we'd finished... time we're supposed to finish, I think was about 5 or 6. We could have been drunk and off our asses by 9. But I say I'm looking forward to going. I mean, I'm sort of planning everything out. Sort of I'm sort of doing my old put me a planning hat on. I'm going to need this and that. And I'm going to put that in that bag. And I have that and that and that. I'm going to go to such and such, buy a big bag of sweet. Just all my usual planning stuff that I usually do when it comes to sort of going to places. But I am really looking forward to going. Hopefully, it does go smoothly. I mean, it was 2 years ago, we waited 4 hours. Last year, we waited 5. I do think this has probably been my last Nationals because I'm sort of, I just sort of maybe blown my load when it comes to Pokemon at the moment. Maybe because I'm sort of playing Final Fantasy 14 now, I'm sort of more interested in, Final Fantasy. And I mean, because with Pokemon, I spent all that time last year making... basically 5 IV Pokemon are pretty much every Pokemon, and I've done that. I mean, my only goal now is to breed a shiny Greninja, and I'm not even that fussed about doing that. So maybe, I mean, I have my team for Nationals, and they're ready, and they're basically in their battle box, and it's just, there's just nothing that's really interesting me apart from Nationals. I mean, there's other events going on. There's like online competitions, and I know my mate went to the Netherlands to compete in the regionals. He came second. But yeah, I say apart from Nationals, there's nothing really interesting that's going on with Pokemon. Maybe I'm just sort of getting past it. you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was, it's several years ago, I was like, well, okay, I really want to get back into Pokemon. So, I mean, I'm not going to get rid of my game or anything. I'm just still going to keep it. It's just, I don't know, just not really anything that's bothering me with it. It's sort of, okay, Nationals is here again, and I'm going to go up to Manchester, and I'm going to compete. Win or lose, I'm not too fussed, basically. I mean, I'm looking forward to travelling back this time, because I'm only staying till the Sunday, so instead of like last year when I was there till Monday, so no 2 hours staying in the hallway of the train, because there's all no seats, just to get home. But I don't know, I mean, I don't mind. I just, you know, get up there, do what I need to do, and then come back again. And yeah, that might be it for me in Pokemon for a good while, because, well, yeah, pretty much, because I'm not interested in entering any competitions. And basically, yeah, all I'll be doing is this national event, and there's nothing else that I really care about. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just growing out of Pokemon. I mean, I don't really watch the show anymore, and yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. It's one of those weird things. Maybe I'm growing as an adult. I don't know. But no, obviously I'm still playing computer games, so I can't be that grown up. But yeah, I say there's just other stuff going on. But I say, yeah, other events. So I say Final Fantasy 1 and me Pokemon 1. We have the More Like Radio live event, which is about, I think, 12 weeks away now, which is getting close. Very, very close. Yeah, basically downtown Lakeland in Florida. It will be on the 25th of April, so literally 2 months away. Yeah, so pretty much like 2 weeks away. 2 weeks. 12 weeks away. And it will be from about, I think, was it 8 o'clock? 8:30, 9 o'clock, till midnight at the Preservation Hall. And basically, you know, we're teaming up with the Moxie LaFemme Burlesque Troupe. And I just can't wait. I mean, literally, I've got all my, you know, you should be doing me organisational shit. Got my clothes all packed out, my bags all ready, got my little bits and pieces all together, and all I've got to do now is pretty much just get on a plane and just sort of fly over, really. I'm so prepared for this thing, you wouldn't believe. But yeah, I say, I mean, we're doing bits and pieces. I'm not exactly too sure what's going on with bits and pieces, but I've heard Mersh is doing his, you know, usual comedy sets, so that'll be fun. I mean, I was listening to his Killjoy CD when I was playing some Final Fantasy today, so, you know, he's going to knock it out of the park. Supposedly, there's going to be a roast of some of the hosts, and I think he's got it out for me, which fuck knows how you're going to roast me, because all the bad shit I know about myself I already know. And, you know, after last year's roast, it's like, well, what the hell do you roast me on? Because all the shit I know that's not going on in my life, I already know, so it's no news to fucking anybody. But yeah, he's going to be doing bits and pieces, and I mean, as soon as I know what's going on, I will tell you, because I always do. But yeah, it's going to be really, really fun, and I can't wait. There's just so much going on. I mean, you know, I'm friends with some of the performers, and yeah, it's going to be awesome. It really is. Tons of video, tons of pictures. Make sure you get yourself there. You know, it's in Florida. If you live local, you know, come down. You know, it's going to be a really great event. It's going to, you know, every year the event gets better and better and better, and I think this is going to be the best one yet. I really do. I'm going to take a break now, because literally I've been talking non-stop, and basically about, you know, usual 15 minutes till break, but not going to do a topic this week. I'll probably hold it off till next week, because I have been talking about so much stuff this week. But yeah, I say, I'm, you know, need a break, basically. But no, I say, yeah, once I come back, I will talk about all the news stuff that's going on. But yeah, I'll be back in about, say, 10 minutes after these messages.
That combination. And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we
sign.
Know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
All
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you.
I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke.
The Elvis and Alfred Show, Thursdays, morelikeradio.com, 5 to 7. I'm Elvis Cage.
I'm Alfred.
I'm Jameson. And on the phone?
It's Bill. I'm phoning it in.
Oh, he's phoning it in. Coming to you live from the Halfpenny Pub in Sayville.
That's right. Punk rock music.
Independent music.
And all the rest of the things that we speak about.
Crazy party stuff.
Yeah. Here on morelikeradio.com.
And elvisandalfred.com 24/7.
Yeah!
The Elvis and Alfred Show.
Now deep beat, cause the V is so deep. An interesting show, it won't ever put you to sleep. It has all the content that you want, the best show on the planet. I ain't even gonna front deep beat. Bringing it again and again. Don't ever miss a show and make sure that you're always tuned in. Hosted by my man Mike and Ski Ray. Keep it turned up on the mic all day. Ask me what's my favorite podcast, I say Deep Beat. Listen to the show while you're sipping on your tea. It's the hottest of the hot. You ain't gotta trust me. Tune into the show and you will definitely see. With Mike and Ski Ray, you can't go wrong. The biggest show ever, bigger than a King Kong. Listen up and don't ever, ever miss a beat. It's Deep Beat. Remember that the V is so deep.
What's up, everybody? Deep Beat Podcast.
Deep
Beat. Be sure to listen to us Fridays at 8 Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
Yep.
Also download us on iTunes.
Just type in Deep V.
Deep V, your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra-violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high-stakes, high-flying, and hard-hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra-violent underground.
You know the way the start of the last episode, we went through different nationalities, you know, and now people know that we're Irish.
And now people know that we're all shite at accents as well.
But I was wondering, is it prejudice to not make fun of, like, all of the countries?
Where are you going for?
We'll name check every country on the show, that way no one can be mad about that.
I could do Swedish.
Oh, yeah, fun.
Birdie birdie.
And to the Italians.
Papa da poopy.
Papa da poopy. Okay.
To the Mexicans.
The amen.
Spain. Singapore.
Oh.
Amazing.
Australians.
Crocodile Dundalk. No. A big loop are you?
No, that sounds
that's
like Limerick or something.
Right, we never slag off the Irish, do we? Someone put a bomb in me potato. There you go. OSW review. All Irish, all racist.
More like radio, less like crap.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in.
This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe.
I then imagined
Sean, did
my
you write
head,
this?
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming." And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge come.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Yeah, as I said before the break, got loads of news for you. Basically, 2 weeks' worth of news, but it's all recent stuff and decent stuff, basically. We'll start with the usual Nintendo bits. Pokken Tournament gameplay shows off Critters controls. Basically, yeah, the new Pokken Tournament is the Pokemon fighting game by Namco Bandai. Basically, they just finished off showing a detailed look at the upcoming Pokemon Fighter. The Tekken-style title was the focus of an hour-long stream hosted by Japanese gaming magazine Famitsu and featured Tekken boss Katsuhiro Harada. A number of Pokemon were confirmed during the broadcast, which included matches featuring franchise mascot Pikachu, the beefy Machamp, and the psychic fairy critter Gardevoir. The legendary Pokemon Suicune was also shown off, the game's first four-legged fighter, and a sign that the game won't feature just bipedal Pokemon, which is what I thought, actually, you know, just basically, because, I mean, we got a screenshot a year or so ago with Lucario against a Blaziken. But, I mean, I don't know. It does seem kind of weird. I'll carry on reading the article anyway. Here we go. Yeah. Battles take place in a 3D arena, and players can call in a number of support Pokemon to join them, including recent starters Fennekin, Snivy, plus Lapras as well. Pokemon Tournament is due to launch first in arcades in Japan. Detail of its home console release are still under wrap, so we might be able to get it for the Wii U, which would be great, I guess. I mean, next week I'm definitely going to do the arcade show that I wanted to do. And you know, this will be something to talk about then as well. Preliminary location tests will take place in Japan this weekend, with different fighters playable each day. If you can't get to those, then you have to watch the stream. Basically. But yeah, I mean, I don't see. I mean, because literally, I listen to a lot of Pokemon podcasts, and you know, people are screaming out for a bloody a Pokemon Stadium for the Wii U. You know, something we can use. I mean, I'm not sure how you'd transfer it across, but you know, something you can use your Pokemon that you bred from, like X and Y, and Aurus in, something like that. But I don't know. This game looks kind of fun. It might be entertaining, but people, the rest of the world apart from Japan would rather have a Pokemon stadium coliseum game, basically, where we can have fully 3D battles, even though, I mean, maybe that's why we haven't got it, since X and Y we've had fully fleshed out 3D Pokemon. But I'm guessing people just want to have it on the big screen telly, just, their Pokemon beat the shit out of other Pokemon and, do battles and stuff. But I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with doing what I need to do. I mean, I'm just sort of thinking back now, because I did actually have several of the Stadium and Colosseum games on my GameCube. And I used it then, and I don't know. Maybe it would be nice to have it on a big screen TV, but I mean, with the games now being all fully 3D and fleshed out and looking nice, there is no real need to have I don't know. I mean, because everything's online now as well. I mean, it's just a different. I don't know. It's not. I don't know if it's weird to say a different era or different generation, but it's a different. It's a different play style at the moment. The fact that, as I say, the games are 3D, it's all 3D animated, and with the internet, there's no need to have people in the same room as you, like we did with Stadium back in the day, and Colosseum. Two people sitting on the sofa, two controllers playing, it's just a different age, I guess. Yeah, different age is probably better to say, but I'm guessing, it would be nice to have. But I mean, this game looks quite fun. If you get to a release, still plenty of Pokemon to see who we're going to get. But yeah, I mean, this game looks fun. I'm not going to say it's not. It looks fun, and it will probably entertain some people. I mean, because I know arcades are big out in Japan, whereas, this is probably a topic for next week. It's like, the difference, why is Japan adopted all the arcade stuff, whereas, America, the UK, we haven't been so big as fans on the arcade since the 80s and 90s. Now it's all home consoles and, portable stuff as well. But I don't know. This is a topic for next week. Other stuff we have. Let's have a look. Just scroll through this stuff. Oh, God, if I can click on it, it'd be helpful. Nintendo clarifies YouTube revenue share program and asks users to delete non-Nintendo videos. This is all from Eurogamer. There we go. Scroll down, that'd be helpful. Yeah, Nintendo has classified the rules of its fledgling YouTube Creators program for channels entirely dedicated to the scheme. Any non-Nintendo videos on a dedicated channel will need to be removed from the channel. For the channel to be accepted, the company has explained. This ruling also applies to videos of games made by Nintendo, but not part of Nintendo's whitelist. While a lengthy list, the rundown includes some of the confusing omissions. No Smash, Super Smash Brothers games at all. No Animal Crossing New Leaf. YouTubers who link YouTubers who link their whole channel to Nintendo Creators Program are eligible for a higher rate to revenue share, rather, 70% per video. Uh, over videos submitted to the scheme individually are just 60%. Any user who already submitted their channel for consideration by Nintendo has 2 weeks to remove videos from non-whitelisted titles. Nintendo has also apologised for a slow start on approvals in general, something it blamed on a larger than predicted response, which is good, I'm guessing, you know. This is a quote from them. It says, thank you very much for participating in the Nintendo Creators Program, the company unexplained. Due to enthusiasm for the program, we received a high volume of applications to register channels and videos than expected. It's taken longer than we anticipated to confirm the applications. We appreciate your patience as we work together, work through them as quickly as possible. Nintendo plans have received a mixed response from YouTubers since its announcements last week. They have every right to do this, and any other developer, publisher have as well. Top YouTuber, fuck off with this pew pew die cunt, wrote on his blog, fuck off with him. But what they are missing out on completely is the free exposure and publicity that it gets from YouTubers. What better way to sell and market a game than from watching someone else that you like playing it and enjoying themselves? Not really. I'd rather just show me, well, not someone actually playing, just show me gameplay footage of the gameplay, not some arsehole in the corner of a screen talking about it. Just show me what the gameplay looks like. I mean, it's why we have trailers. I'm sure, let's see. See, that's the thing, right? Maybe that's where all these videos and YouTubers got quote-unquote fame, because the trailers that we got for games these days weren't actually gameplay footage. They're all like, I'll take Mass Effect, for example. You know, the whole, the trailer, you know, the CGI trailers we got for Mass Effect when those games came out a couple of years back. You know, we never know what the gameplay was like because was these trailers, but, you know, if we did get, you know, proper trailers with in-game footage, I mean, Grand Theft Auto, I think, and Gran Turismo, and, like, Forza, I think those are the ones, actually, I know that do in-game footage for their trailers, because, you know, we want to know what it looks like in-game. We don't really want to know, you know, all this flashy CGI trailer of how your character's going to look, even though it's not going to look like that. I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, there's end of that article. Let's find something else to talk about. I know, because literally I've got some really good stuff to talk about. I'm just sort of trying to get through my older bits and pieces. Yeah, Super Smash Brothers 3DS patch adds amiibo support. Those great amiibos that people are buying, I'm guessing. Nintendo has released a new Super Smash Brothers for the 3DS update, adding amiibo support to the title. The patch arrived just in time for this Friday, 13th February, where the amiibo compatible new 3DS and new 3DS XL arrive in Europe. Armed with a shiny new handheld, you'll be able to scan and level up your amiibo figurine, the same as you can do on the Wii U edition. Nintendo's Smash patch also includes a new share mode, which lets all users upload to the three custom I'm getting tongue-tied trying to read the fucking same line again. Upload to three custom items to the cloud to share with a friend. This can include screenshots, match replays, and even customized Mii Fighter characters. Update 1.05 is available to download now. Let's talk about this. I mean, I'm looking forward to the new 3DS. I mean, I do want to get one, but I'm not even sure now. See, as I said before the break, I was talking, you know, this might be the, you know, my end with Pokemon. I'm like, well, if I've already got like a 3DS with my Pikachu one and my 2DS, which I use for trading, if I'm not really playing Pokemon anymore, what's the point of me, buying it a new 3DS? Well, I should be just happy what I've got. I mean, I know I'm going travelling soon, and I'll, you know, chuck my Star Fox and what else have I got? Mario Kart into the, you know, my bag. But probably no need for a brand new 3DS when I barely play anything on it at the moment anyway. I don't know. Maybe. Here we go. Yeah, something else that's sort of made me giggle. Nintendo wanted to make Harry Potter games, supposedly. Nintendo tried to get an exclusive multimedia rights to Harry Potter video games back in the late 1990s. Scroll down the page. A new unseen 64 report has revealed Nintendo of America's NST studio was given... was given a week to develop a pitch back in 98. The team drew up plans to produce a game version of each Potter book as they were released on N64, GameCube, and then still in development GameCube. A spin-off based around the Wizarding sport called Quidditch was also worked on, although plans never progressed beyond concept drawings and basic animations. The first Harry Potter book launched in 98, and a year later, author J.K. Rowling began selling the rights to development the series into a media property. Nintendo was just one of the many companies making bids for the IP alongside Disney, Universal Studios, and Warner Brothers. The latter of which ultimately successful. There we go. Altogether, it was only a week of insanely furious scribbling things to the digital artists to create animations for mock game demos, explained a Nintendo employee who worked for NST at the time. The studio's three projects, Ridge Racer 64, Bionic Commando, and Chrysalis, were all placed on hold while the pitch took place. But yeah, I mean, I say, you know, it's good that Warner Brothers got the games because we got some good games out of it, basically. But internal disagreement over the Harry Potter art style may have helped scrap Nintendo's chances. Artists had originally opted for a look closer to the first book's British cover before Nintendo's higher-up stepped in and forced the change to a more Japanese manga style, which, why the fuck would you do that? It went against all my instincts based on what I had read quotes from J.K. Rowling's book about keeping it strictly British, the employee explained. I had to revamp my initial designs and go more manga Japanese. I had a big fight about that, but my boss insisted. Nintendo's pitch was obviously unsuccessful, and it's unlikely the company would have been chosen regardless, against much larger offers from other media conglomerates. Basically, you know, well, I'll carry on reading it, then I'll add my 2 cents in. Yeah, Rowling eventually sold Harry Potter rights to Warner Brothers, which then contracted EA to create game adaptations of each book, and similar to Quidditch spin-off. Yeah, I mean, as I say, yeah, bought by Warner Brothers because they did the movies. And then EA, you know, did the games, which were great games. I mean, some of them were okay, and I mean, I got so far in the first one, and then played several of the other ones. I mean, the Quidditch one was the best one. I mean, that was a really, really fun game for my PlayStation 2. I think I played it on. But yeah, I mean, you know, we got some decent games out of it. You know, more sort of, you know, movie tie-in stuff. But yeah, I mean, I had fun playing the Harry Potter games. But as I say, if it was a Nintendo-only property, we'd be kind of buggered because basically it would just be a Nintendo game and you'd have to buy, you know, it probably help sales of, you know, of Game Boys and Game Cubes at the time. But, you know, being as it went to EA, you could have it on basically every system. And I'm surprised, you know, it didn't come out on the GameCube sort of thing. But, you know, to be honest, the way the movies were launched, I don't think any Harry Potter games came out on Nintendo platforms apart from the Game Boy Advanced, I think. Nothing on the main consoles anyway, but I could be wrong on that. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. Let's find something else to talk about. Okie dokie, one sec. What we got from Sony? Hang on, where's that? Oh, one second. I know what I'm looking for. I do, honest. It's in the other thing. One sec. Here we go, yeah. I mean, because there's a whole bunch of stuff going on with, like, games and... I mean, because I think Netflix wants to make a Zelda TV show, but... hang on, no. Where is that bloody thing? Hang on one second. It's got to be in here somewhere. God, it's here... Oh, buggering arse. Maybe I didn't put it on there. No worries. Let's do something else instead. We go from Microsoft. Microsoft investigating PC to Xbox One streaming. A Microsoft announcement. Microsoft announced last night. This is from about 2 or 3 weeks ago, that the Xbox One games will be streamed to Windows 10 PCs and tablet devices over a local Wi-Fi network. But now the company has said that it also looked into reverse streaming Windows 10 game from other devices to play on your Xbox One. I said, we're actually investigating that right now. Xbox executive Mike Ybarra explained during a roundtable interview attended by Eurogamer's Jeffrey Metloff. We don't have any further details to share, but it's nothing. But it's something we're looking at. But while this feature may be a way off, Microsoft already has its Xbox One to Windows 10 streaming working, albeit at a lower resolution frame rate than planned for the feature's final release. Right now it's in the labs. It's at 720p at 30 frames per second. We're looking at 1080p and 30 frames per second, and then basically just trying to get as high as possible. So really, it will largely depend on the scenario in which someone's trying to play that, but we're investigating to make sure that we can give the optimal experience based on what the scenario is for the consumer. We haven't tested every single game, so I can't give you a definitive answer. Ybarra continues, but certainly our goal is to be as low latency as possible, especially for frames per second, because any kind of additional latency will hear about it loud and clear. Yeah, basically people will bitch and moan as they usually do. A Microsoft spokesperson later confirmed to Eurogamer that the company would attempt to make as many Xbox One games compatible with the technology as possible. There might be some exceptions, we were told. For instance, Kinect titles will not work. Finally, Microsoft has confirmed that the new Spartan browser will arrive on Xbox One in due course, though it isn't just yet saying when. But I mean, there was something I got today. One sec. I was talking about like Xbox One updates. Here we go. Oh, this is probably the screenshots. Yeah, Xbox boss Phil Spencer has teased the upcoming Xbox One screenshot feature, which should be come available to the public very soon. Nice to finally be doing this on Xbox One dev kit, Spencer wrote on Twitter over the weekend. His message was accompanied by an image showing Xbox One's double tap guide menu when an option to save a screenshot now sits. It seems like a bit of subsequent messages, Spencer stressed that the user interface method was still in beta. The ability to take screenshots from Xbox One has been top request from users for some time, because basically, I'm in my PlayStation 4, I can do that. Screenshots are now expected to arrive in one of the console's next few monthly firmware updates. PlayStation 4 has allowed you to snap screenshots of the games since the console launched. I mean, they're sort of sitting there at Microsoft headquarters with a bunch of PlayStation 4s, sort of trying to work out how that does that. But, I mean, you know, they take apart the tech, you know, break it down, see what happens, and, you know, no doubt, you know, basically we'll get the, Xbox doing that pretty soon. Okie dokie. Here we go. This is interesting. Microsoft's HoloLens is a new AR headset computer. Microsoft has revealed a new augmented reality headset, Microsoft HoloLens. I mean, I'm more interested in the AR technology than the VR technology, to be honest. The head-mounted computer is equipped with its own sensors and processors, so you don't need any other equipment dotted around. Using the headset's translucent lenses, you are able to view graphics overlaid on your environment. A concept video showed off how you might chat with a colleague using a portable Skype window, or build a Minecraft layout that fitted around your living room. Back in the real world, Microsoft demoed a simple AR app where the user is able to manipulate and build a complex 3D model in real time. That's so cool. I mean, it takes the Kinect sort of one step further, sort of, I guess, and actually makes it usable. Technology is still a work in progress, although the company has stressed that it's a huge part of Microsoft plans for the future of Windows. HoloLens will debut during Windows 10 life cycle, Microsoft explained. So at some point in the next 5 years, perhaps. Yeah, maybe. That's pretty cool, to be honest. I mean, I'm looking at what they plan to do with this thing. Yeah, that'd be really good. I mean, it's sort of And I'm just sort of thinking now about the IA Judgment game that we got with the iToy for the PlayStation. Something like that, but you know, on your face would be great. You know, it could have. Well, I just sort of just trying to think about what other sort of applications you could work. I mean, I'm more interested in this than actually 3D, stuff. I don't know. It's hard to explain because I mean, I sort of have more hope for this sort of technology than the Oculus Rift stuff. Whereas this, you know, you look into something to put the Oculus Rift to work. Whereas this sort of, you know, just sort of sits on your head simply. And I mean, it looks a lot less fiddly than the Oculus Rift, but it does look. I don't know. It's weird. It basically looks like a headband with sort of like a set of goggles on it, really. But I mean, if they say it can do what it can do, then you know, just think what it'd do for gaming and all sorts of stuff. Right. Oh, can't scroll too far. I've read that already. Okie dokie. Here we go. Yeah, this is basically a bug problem we've got on the Xbox One with the Telltale's Game of Thrones game. Episode 2 of Telltale's Game of Thrones is failing to recognize player choices made in Episode 1. Xbox One users report. There were a few numerous threads on Telltale's official forum, official forum full of Xbox One players, basically experienced this issue. Some users suggest the problem is part of a wider issue where the game's first episode fails to record a player's choice upon completion. Something Telltale has been aware of since early December, but has yet to rectify. Xbox One players affected by the problem can still play through Episode 2, though they are forced to continue the story using the game's default options, which, spoilers aside, aren't that great. Episode 2, The Lost Lords, launched for Xbox One on Wednesday, a day after its arrival from PC and PlayStation platforms. Yeah, I do want to get it because I am sort of a Lord of the Rings, a Game of Thrones fan, but we'll wait and see how this is going to pan out. Okay. Here we go, yeah. Basically, I'll do some... Do some Sony stuff now. Basically, it's a load of profits. I mean, I've just seen several articles about profits for PlayStation 4 at the moment. Big PlayStation 4 sales helped Sony to significant profit for the quarter. Bollocks, I'm getting tongue-tied again. For the profit quarter for Christmas. The Gama Sutra Japanese company saw a 80 billion yen profit for the third quarter ending on the 31st of December. That's up from a 26 billion yen profit during the same period last year. The Game and Nintendo Service Division, Network Service Division, which runs PlayStation, saw an operating income of 27 billion for the quarter. That figure was fueled by an impressive 6.4 million PlayStation units which shipped to shops and a whopping 147 million game sales. Wow. The sales period last year was 4.5 million PlayStations sold. And 128 million games sold. And the Game and Network Service Division saw a 12.4 billion yen operating income. Sales increased 60.8% year on year to 531 billion yen, which is about £3 billion. Sony has put this down to an increase in PlayStation 4 sales, the old chestnut favorable impact of foreign exchange rates, and a significant increase in network services revenue, which is also all those PlayStation Plus accounts and PlayStation Network games sales bringing in the cash. So basically, your Call of Duties, your FIFAs, your Maddens, that sort of stuff. However, PlayStation 3 and PlayStation... and game sales decreased, as you'd expect. Basically, 1.1 million PlayStation 3s were sold in the quarter, and Sony took, 11.2 billion yen right down out of PlayStation Vita and PlayStation TV components. Sony doesn't break out PlayStation Vita sales, but portable entertainment systems, which include the PSP and PS Vita, $1.4 million for the quarter, which reinforced Vita's ongoing struggle in any case. Sony said the write-down had more to do with lower PlayStation TV sales than expected. So, I don't know. Latest official figures show Sony has sold 18.5 million PlayStation 4s to consumers globally. So that's pretty good. So things are going wonderfully well at PlayStation, which will no doubt please Sony Computer Entertainment and your house. Yeah, I mean, they had big sales with this as well. If I can scroll up the article. Yeah, with the, as I say, because I have been playing this. Resident Evil Remastered set sales record for PlayStation Network and Capcom Digital. Yeah, the remastered version of the 2002... GameCube remake is the best-selling best-selling day one title ever on PlayStation Network, Capcom has announced. The US PlayStation blog noted that it was the top-selling title on both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3 for the month of January. Not bad, seeing as how it didn't come out until the 20th of January in North America and the following day in Europe. It's also Capcom's fastest-selling digital title in history across both America and Europe. It's been great to see so many positive comments from fans that have enjoyed this new release, said producer Yoshiaki Hirabayashi. There we go. The team here at Capcom Japan have worked hard to bring the game to the latest generation of consoles, and we are thrilled with the news of its performance. As you should be, it's a really good game. Eurogamer contributor Simon Parkin found this remastered version of an old classic didn't entirely hold up to the clear light of 2015, but it's an interesting look back at the early days of 3D horror. I had fun playing it. I enjoyed it. I mean, you know, it's a great game. It really is. And, you know, what we can do with it is great. You know, I mean, it's Resident Evil. Yes, it's a remake, but it's more of what we should be getting from Resident Evil. It's the survival horror at its earliest, I would say. Right, let's go into some other new stuff. Where was that one about the lesbian stuff? Hang on, one sec. The LGBT with... Here we go. Yeah, I mean, I can't stand League of Legends and Dota and all that bullshit, but this was quite funny and stupid. I mean, it's funny how people can be like this these days. Let me just go to the original because this is an update. Yeah, Garena Esports, a Philippine-based competitive gaming league, has made a stipulation limiting how many LGBT players, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, but it can be on the same team. First off, the league had created an all-feminine tournament entitled the Iron Solari. When it came to deciding who would be allowed in an all-female female team, Garena came for some interesting conclusions. We always want to make sure we are able to have an exclusive, inclusive environment where no one feels left out. And of course, for everybody to enjoy, the league explained in a recent ruling. On this angle, we believe that allowing more more people would be eligible to join is obviously the answer. And as many of our female teams have expressed, lesbian, gay, transgender women members are their friends too. Then it added the following passage: it says, on the other hand, for any competitions, we seriously look at ensuring there's a fair level playing field for all participants, and there are arguments and concerns from other participants who dispute that lesbian, gay, transgender women members may probably have some unfair advantage. This is what I find funny, because it's so stupid. We're not sure what this unfair advantage would be, but that's Garena's mode of thinking. As such, it stipulates that each team will be allowed to have a maximum of one gay or transgender woman for the entirety of the tournament day. Any team who violates this rule will be hit with a one-year ban, really. It is our hope that with this change, we're able to realise our goal to have an event where everybody can enjoy while at the same time preserving the competitive aspect of this tournament. Garena stated, we intend to closely monitor the impact of the changes made and will continue to have an open dialogue with all the parties involved as we continue to look for ways of improving Iron Solari. The League of Legends developer Riot Games wasn't happy about its stipulation, even if it is in the Philippines. LGBT players are welcome at official LOL tournaments. We're working with partners to ensure consistency of our values across all regions, developer said on Twitter. But there's an update on this article. For the Philippines eSport organization that discriminated against LGBT community was controversial rules for a League of Legends tournament has reversed its decision. Last night, Garena Philippines eSports caused a storm when it said that teams involved in the upcoming all-feminine League of Legends tournaments, the Iron Solari, would be limited to one gay or transgender woman per team because they probably have some unfair advantage. Yeah, it's people sitting at a computer. What the fuck sort of... You're sitting on your ass pushing buttons. I don't know. Is this something from the 50s? Is Mad Men involved that, you know, women are fast typists or, you know... I don't get the whole unfair advantage bullshit. As you expect, they didn't go down well with the League of Legends developer Riot stepping in to express its concern. Now, Garena has changed its rules and apologised to the LGBT community following what it called a lot of good discussion and debate. Here's a statement published on Garena's website. I'll read this out for you. Our initial ruling on the LGBT players' restrictions within the Iron Solari League has created a lot of good discussion and debate over the past 24 hours. After discussing the ruling with our partners and re-examining our approach, we have decided to remove these restrictions completely. This means that any player who self-identifies as female will be allowed to participate. We sincerely apologise for any offence we have we caused to the LGBT and gaming communities. Our original intent when we put together this tournament was to promote diversity to in the competitive gaming community. Hence, we are grateful to our players who have consistently provided their feedback to help us learn and improve as we strive to develop an inclusive gaming environment for all. We'll also be keeping our promises of having an open dialogue with all parties as we plan this and future events. We hope you will tune in to support these awesome teams and players in this upcoming tournament. Comments on the statement are largely negative, which with some ridiculing the wording of Garena's statement. The second leg of the Solari tournament is set for the 22nd of February, so in a couple of weeks. But, I mean, Charles, I talked about this on the show because I watched the documentary, but the whole stuff about the whole, you know, I didn't know there was some diversity between the actual teams where you can only have men and teams of men and teams of women. I didn't know that. I mean, I watched this documentary and they were talking about, you know, one of the teams. And it was like, well, I mean, it kind of makes sense. I mean, from what I've seen, that is, it makes sense that basically all I've seen is like men on one team, women on the other. But I mean, you're creating diversity there. You're not ending it by because you're separating the different genders, and now you're chucking in this whole bullshit about you only one gay person or transgender on each team. It's like, well, that's just sort of stupid, you know. I mean, what does that say about people in drag? But yeah, I don't get that. I mean, to be honest, I think, and you get, and they wanted to give them a year's ban. Are you fucking stupid? I mean, to be honest, I mean, these games are so... I just can't get into these games anyway. They just sort of drive me up the fucking wall. But I don't know. It's all stupid. It just really is. I mean, who gives a shit if they're gay or trans? Who gives a fucking shit? I mean, you know, the diversity's good. But isolation, you only have teams with men and women on. Even if that's a thing, and I don't know, I'll have to look it up after the show. That's stupid. You're just separating, you know, people. When, you know, if you want to have a team with mixed people, then have a team with mixed people. It's just, you know, you're playing a fucking game. That's what I say. What you said about this unfair advantage bullshit. I mean, what unfair advantage? There is no unfair advantage. You're sitting on a fucking office chair, typing on a laptop or computer or, you know, whatever, playing a game which has more press given to it and more financial backing than it fucking should do. And people are watching this shit. that sort of still doesn't. It still gets me. It's like people are watching people. I don't know. I'm not going to get into the same rant I do all the time because it's just a waste of my damn time. But yeah, I saw this article and I thought best to bring it up as soon as possible. So I was like, as soon as I come back, I was like, it's just so bullshit, you know. But I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. I'll keep you posted. Anything new pops up anyway. This helps if I click on the right thing. Here we go. Yeah. Ultra Rare recalled Nintendo game being sold for $40,000 on eBay. The factory sealed copy of the Ultra Rare 1987 NES game Stadium Events is currently on eBay for $40,000. The title is considered to be the rarest officially released game for the console due to it being recalled mere days after its initial 1987 launch. Stadium Events was released by Bandai as a test title for its family fun fitness control mat, an early version of the technology now found in Dance Dance Revolution floor pads. But Nintendo bought the technology for itself just as Stadium Events was being released. The company ordered immediate return of existing copies so the game could be rebranded with Nintendo's updated version of the controller mat, now named the NES Power Pad. 2,000 copies of the game were produced before the change occurred, although only 200 made it out onto shelves. Of those 200, only a handful actually sold and made it into circulation. Of the handful, only two copies are known to still be in their original boxes. This is one of the two. The seller explained that the previous worked at Nintendo and has owned the copy since the early 1990s. The listing is for a complete, excellent, near mint condition sealed copy of the game, one of the few to ever be sent to a video game authority in Roswell, Georgia, for official grading, verification, and authentication. The seller explained, once the game arrived safely, the professionals at VGA gently cleaned the item, verified it, graded it, and sealed it in a professional quality acrylic case where it will remain for the rest of its life. Bidding on the item originally began at $5,000. The sale is due to conclude in just under a week's time. It's really nice. I know of Stadium Events because I've heard it's like one of the rare games, and you know, we've seen stuff about this before. But why is it selling for so much money? Yes, I understand the whole rarity or whatever, but you're paying. I mean, it's sold now, but yeah, it sold for $40,000. You spent $40,000 on a game that you can't play. Mainly because unless you want to break the authenticity and take it out of the box and all that sort of stuff and just make it completely worthless on a system that nobody plays anymore, but you've got it because of what it is. Why would you waste so much money? I mean, yes, if you've got money to spend on this sort of shit, you're a fucking millionaire or movie star, you know, it's fucking rich arseholes, yeah, then buy it. But what the fuck are you going to do with it? It's like, well, this is worth $40,000. Because I'm an idiot and paid for it. Why? Why would you do something like that? It's so stupid. I really don't get this. You buy something to use it. I mean, I can understand toy collectors and that. They buy two, one to play with, one just for boxing. But this, you're not even going to play with it. What's the point? I don't know. And to be honest, it's a game. There's so much better stuff out there these days. I know the retro value and all that sort of stuff, but I don't know. Maybe I want to own a piece of... a piece of, you know, history, I guess. All right, what we got next? Here we go, yeah. Oh, excuse me. God, I'm a bit burpy today. That's all the onions I've eaten today. Watch Dogs 2 must appeal to fans in a new way, creative director says. Ubisoft's Watch Dogs sequel must improve the fledgling series formula and appeal to fans in a new way, the creative director, he said. Watch Dogs boss Jonathan Morin has told Games TM of his early plans for a sequel, despite no formal announcement of the project yet being made. Nevertheless, Watch Dogs 2 will continue to focus on the players creating their own stories via some of Watch Dogs' procedurally generated features, Morin said, such as its profiler, which created brief biographies for the game's population of NPCs. I don't know. I mean, how much more is this article to go? It was a bit, hang on. But yeah, I mean, I love Watch Dogs. I mean, I know JJ from 360 and 420, he didn't like it. But you weren't really creating your own story. I mean, I have to disagree with that. I mean, because I can't remember the fucking guy's name. You were the guy, basically. And you were trying to, you know, help your sister and your niece and nephew. Nephew, because your niece had died. But you were trying to sort of get redemption for what happened. And, you know, yes, your profile of stuff, it was good for the multiplayer and other bits and pieces, but I don't know. I don't understand how you were creating your own story when the story was already created for you. It was just you doing bits and pieces to, you know, coexist with the world, I guess. Players experience other unstructured moments via the game's capacity for random incursions from other human players. They are multiplayer. Both elements have encouraged Morin to consider featuring more story moments open to players in the future, rather than having writers to fill in as much of the narrative. We want fans to play with a very different state of mind, not wrap up the concerns for them. Concept for them. Morin said, players love the ideas of other players who create an alternative reality in their games, and knowing that now opens up a lot of new possibilities of what online can do. Yeah, I don't... new reality? I don't get... I mean, I know what you could do with the multiplayer stuff, but I don't think there was a, I don't know, new way of, you know, sorting out reality. Morin and his team are now considering all options for the sequel, including some taken off the table for Watch Dogs 1. But it was all about seeing the franchise's original focus in a new light. He continued, not about fixing the first game's flaws. I love the first game. I thought it was great. I don't think Watch Dogs is perfect in any way, and there's a lot of room for improvement, Morin explained. But you don't always see this when you ship a game. You deliver what we believe the brand should be at the time. Afterwards, you cool down after 5.5 years of development and take your vacations, and then people play the game. Certain elements become clear, and they let you continue to bring you what you envision to the next level. With the fans included this time, which is where I think it's really going to get interesting. There's been no word yet on the Watch Dogs 2 might surface, but Morin previously told a Eurogamer that a sequel would certainly not take as long as to make as the original 5-year marathon development. Speaking last July, Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot revealed that Watch Dogs 1 had shipped 8 million units worldwide and was now considered to be an important series for the company's future. Watch Dogs is now well positioned as a major franchise, and we'll be able to replicate and build on its success with the coming years. And yeah, I mean, as I say, it's a Ubisoft game, and so you can tie it back to Assassin's Creed, because I mean, there's loads of Abstergo stuff that's going on, and it would be good. I mean, I'm more interested in playing many sequels for Watch Dogs than, you know, more of Assassin's Creed, even though, you know, the next one is going to be set in London and, you know, Victorian era, but it would be nice to see what happening in America with, you know, Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed, sort of crossover tie-ins. You know, have some fun with it, you know, enjoy it, but we'll see how it goes anyway. As usual, I'm running out of time again. I can't believe it. It just goes on and on and on. Here we go. Yeah, Elder Scrolls. This is something I wanted to talk about a couple of weeks ago, but then, you know, the order went crap, basically. Elder Scrolls Online gets console release date and drop subscription. If I can just the usual update with the story. Here we go. Yeah. Two major announcements regarding the Elder Scrolls Online. The first is a 9th of June release date for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions of the game, a year later than was originally planned. The second, Tesso will no longer the Elder Scrolls Online will no longer be required a subscription fee to play. As with Guild Wars 2, when you buy the game, you can play it in full online for no extra charge. Special optional downloadable content will be sold to you, but regular gameplay updates will remain free. Convenience and variety items will be sold in a Crown Store, real money converter shop in game. You can still pay a monthly subscription to become a ESO Plus member. Receiving exclusive in-game bonuses, a monthly allotment of crowns, and access to all the DLC while you're a member. The console versions of Elder Scrolls Online are officially subtitled Tamriel Unlimited and include all the charges and updates made for the PC game since launch of April 2014. PC players will have access to the Tamriel Unlimited Edition before console players on the 17th of March. All accounts open or closed will be updated, and there will be a special offers to entice lapsed players back. We've seen a glimpse of the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions of ESO before, and it looks a lot like single-player Elder Scrolls game Skyrim, as it should do, because graphics are pretty good. Game director Matt Fearor has been adamant with that the console versions are not just ports of the PC game, he says, and benefit from a redesigned user interface, voice chat, and full PlayStation Network and Xbox Live integration. The Elder Scrolls Online got off to a rocky start on the PC last spring, failing to really capture the hearts of either single-player Elder Scrolls fans or MMO devotees. But with the console version coming around, it has another chance at convincing us, showing us what difference a year of late live development can make. I mean, there's an update. I'll read the update before I, chuck in my two cents again. Console gameplay footage was shown during the Elder Scrolls Online live stream this afternoon. This is from, a couple of weeks ago. He says, I've ripped out the relevant gameplay for the video and just updates and shit. Just basic updates. But yeah, no, I mean, it's nice that we're getting this game as a, it's free to play basically now and you're getting your updates. But I don't know. I mean, I say this game came out last April and I haven't talked about this game at all anytime since then. Apart from this story, I completely forgot the game was out there. That's how much I'm giving a shit about Elder Scrolls Online. I mean, yes, I know I'm sort of hand on heart. I'm sort of dedicated Final Fantasy player now, but I might play this if it's free. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm tempted to give this a go, but if we got like a trial or something, it'd be nice. There is a console beta, so we should be getting that soon. And I wouldn't mind giving it a go, but I don't know. We'll wait and see. What the hell? Trying to find something decent. Oh, here we go. Yes. I loved this game when it came out. Fahrenheit, Indigo Prophecy, remastered, coming to Steam. A remastered edition of David Cage's 2005 adventure Fahrenheit, or Indigo Prophecy as it was known in North America, is getting a remastered edition for the PC and the Mac. Leaked on Amazon, and it's now since been removed. The spruced up HD edition, dubbed Fahrenheit Indigo Prophecy Remastered, is due on the 29th of January, it's out now, and will cost just under $10. For a Steam key, the remastered version, so basically I'm just telling you now, just go easy, go out and buy it, because it's a really good game. The remastered version will feature enhanced visuals that can be toggled on or off, along with full control support and a fully orchestrated soundtrack. It's worth noting that this is an uncut version of the game, i.e. the European version, as the North American release censored a sex scene where, upon getting slapped with an adults-only rating, the first version is rated as much more common mature, suggesting that US Ratings Board ESRB has become a little more lax over the years. Though this didn't stop giving hatred, AO. This is some plug in Eurogamer now. But yeah, I mean, I loved this game. It was amazing. It was really good. If it's coming to Steam, like, you know, as a download, right? Why can't we get it on the PlayStation or Xbox? I mean, it's a really fun game, and I'd love to play it again. And the story's really good and solid. You know, it's really good, and the choices you can make and bits and pieces. It's, you know, it's literally before we had all the Telltale games of, you know, your Walking Dead, your Game of Thrones, that sort of, you know, Back to the Future, point and click stuff. This was the original sort of point and click, you know, adventure title. I mean, yes, you know, you got Monkey Island, but this is a really good one from, you know, 10 years ago now. Damn, the game was good. All right, let's just go on stuff, because I am running out of time, and I want to try and get through as much stuff as possible. Right, what we got? Oh, Just Cause 3. Yes, let's talk about this. I love Just Cause. First one was great. Loved the second one. Played it through several times, and now we're getting Just Cause 3. Just Cause 3 screenshots show off explosions and wingsuits. Yes, awesome. A selection of new Just Cause 3 screenshots have popped up online, showing off the game's aerial and land-based gameplay. The images haven't been released officially. They instead appear on NeoGAF, but we have no reason to doubt their authenticity. As you expect from Just Cause game, there's a usual mix of flying on top of planes, gliding in wingsuits, and grappling helicopters. Meanwhile, back on solid ground, you can shoot, drive, explode, or any combination thereof around the game's map. Just Cause 3 is set to arrive this June for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Take a look at the screenshots below, but yeah, I'm just looking at it now. This game is going to be fucking awesome. I love myself some Just Cause. The game's amazing. God, I'm going to have so much fun with this. I mean, June is a very good month. Batman and now Just Cause. Yeah, definitely going on my wish list. Definitely want to buy these. All right, what we got next? Let's have a look. Here we go. This is weird. I saw this though. I haven't really looked into it, but it's I don't know, weird. Probably, it's supposed to just mistaken, I'm guessing. BioShock 2 is no longer available digitally. As spotted on Reddit, the folks noticed that it's mysteriously vanished. It mysteriously vanished from sale on Steam, PlayStation Network, the Xbox Marketplace, Amazon, Apple, and the Green Man Gaming, among other places. What gives, you ask? Well, the popular theory is that the licensing deal expired as the game came out exclusively exactly 5 years ago today. We requested comment from publisher 2K Games about why it's been removed and whether it will come back. There is an update to this, so obviously we've heard something. It would be a shame if BioShock 2 were resigned to physical-only copies as one of the most surprisingly good unplayed sequels. It's Minerva's Den DLC, which was developed by many of the same folks who made Gone Home, is even better. Back in 2013, Eurogamer... that's just bullshitting about it. Let's read this update. Looks like BioShock 2 will returning to various digital marketplaces soon. Publisher 2K has confirmed. BioShock has been temporarily removed from the Steam... or marketplaces, we'll just say that, so you have to read all that stuff. We'll return to the digital store soon, the publisher said in a statement to Eurogamer. We'll let you know when that happens. In the meantime, there is no way of effect. There is no way it affects the single player or multiplayer experience for those who currently own BioShock 2. We're still not sure why it was removed or how shortly soon will be, but we'll keep you posted. Yeah, I mean, BioShock 2 was a great game. I do like it. The multiplayer was fun, actually. I mean, there's not many games out there that have the sort of fun, you know, integrity and, you know, whatever with it. But yeah, BioShock 2 was fun. But hopefully it's coming back pretty soon. I mean, they save soon, so... I don't know. As I've done some Final Fantasy stuff, I will talk about some Final Fantasy 15 as I've been playing Final Fantasy 14. Final Fantasy 15 will have a cat cam feature in which you can play as a feline. Demoed at the Taipei Game Show and captured by Games HQ Media, Square Enix debuted a prototype of this function in which a cat explores a still in development train station. It's unclear if this feature will be in the final game, but the fact that the level of geometry actually shows you to crawl through tight openings suggests that this is more just a gag. Back in December, the developer revealed a similar dog cam, what's next, bird cam, We remain suspect that you'll be able to engage in combat or push a story forward in feline form, but it certainly seems to add a new level of exploration as you can find new vantage points to better appreciate the lavish detail that went into building the game's various towns. Coupled with a photo mode, this could create quite the metagame. But I mean, trust, they tried this. They shouldn't. It's weird, right? I mean, they tried this animal introduction stuff into games with Chop in Grand Theft Auto 5. But apart from that, that mission where you fuck that other dog up the arse, there was no really real reason to use Chop at all. I mean, there was the app that you could get on your phone, and you could you'd learn new tricks and train Chop up, and it would sort of work together with your game. But it just did nothing work. It really didn't do what it was supposed to do, and basically no one gives a shit about Chop. But this whole animal stuff, just, I don't know. I mean, if they're wasting all this development time on stupid trivial shit, whereas we'd rather have, you know, more focus into the actual game, into, you know, the development of the towns, as it says, then all this sort of stuff. We don't really want another bullshitty Final Fantasy game like 13 was, and 13-2 and Lightning Returns. You know, it's just, we want stuff that's good, basically. I think that's pretty much sort of ends it for me this week. Thanks for listening. And goodbye. No, I'm kidding. No, as usual, you know, don't forget, coming up next, we have Alcohol by Volume, then you have My Time Now, and then you have Dutch and Royce finishing out the night. But I say, don't forget, if you want to get into contact, you can, you know, Skype in anytime you want. It's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word on Skype. You want to email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You do want to join the Facebook group. We've had a couple of join-ups the past couple of weeks. Facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like the show's Facebook page would be helpful. It's facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter @MLRGamerRadio. As I said, I've got a busy couple of months coming up for me. I've got the Final Fantasy 14 event in a couple of weeks. I have the live event, which, you know, don't forget, it's April 25th in Lakeland, Florida, downtown Lakeland, starting from 8:30, 9 o'clock till midnight on the Saturday at Preservation Hall. Basically, everyone's going to be there. Literally, so many people going, and make sure you get yourself in. When we get the tickets announced and who's going to be there and all the bits and pieces, which I've got to announce soon anyway, but, you know, that's really on my top of my list at the moment that I'm looking forward to. And I've got Pokemon Nationals as well, which is, you know, 30th and 31st of May in Manchester, which I can't wait. You know, I said first half of the show, my hotel's booked. All I've got to do is book a train, get my bag, put my clothes in, and that's ready to go. And I'm ready to go to Florida, ready to go to Manchester. I'm just pretty much ready for everything that's going on at the moment. But yeah, so if you do want to follow any of the shows, get in touch with all the hosts, the details of when we go live, go to morelikeradio.com. All your details are there, how to contact with this show, any other show. Just keep listening to More Like Radio, and, you know, we'll keep you entertained from now until the end of time. It's enough bullshitting talking from me this week. After 2 weeks off, I'm sort of tired now, and I want 2 more weeks off. I'm back now, and I'll be here for the foreseeable future. But I needed to leave because I need to get off because Kevin's going to be on next, and he'll shout at me if I don't get off the air. All right, thank you all for listening. Good luck, and I will speak to you again next week. Take care, people. Goodbye.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, yeah, what a sure. Bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
shit. A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
Area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or north or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.